Most of you this week should have received a special promotion of praying for life. Next Sunday is anyway, we're going to celebrate life, human life. Yes. And when I got a call yesterday afternoon that Richard was sick, obviously I had to begin to think about what I would share with you today as a message. And, of course, people think, well, a preacher's always got messages in his pocket. And that's true. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that next Sunday was the Sanctity of Life Sunday. And I know that Richard is in a series on the Beatitudes. So I thought that today, because Sanctity of Life is very near and dear to me, that I would use this day for us to celebrate a week early. But just be reminded that next week is Sanctity of Life Week. And next Sunday we'll conclude that, and I hope that you will pray about life and do all that you can as you have opportunity to share for me. And this, of course, what you received over the internet, of course, has how you can pray for life. And this is a battle that's going to continue to go on in our country. And not only life for the newborn, but also life for those that have health issues, that are tempted to assisted suicide, and other areas of our culture where life is not held with the regard that it should. And so I'm going to be looking in Psalms 139, the first 16 verses, and I will look specifically at about four or five of those verses, and we will share them as I get to that point in the sermon. I don't think I need to remind you here that God made us all and greatly values our lives. Our lives are not an accident or a mistake, but the result of God's intentional act of creation. Our current culture, as we all are very much aware of, devalues human life. There are people that will try to tell you that life is just an arrangement of molecules, that humans are over-consuming animals. But I can assure you that is not how God views human life. God created mankind, and He highly values each life. Every life in this room matters to God. Because God created us in His image, and every person has great potential. Now, I realize that all of us in this place this morning have grandchildren and even great-grandchildren. Do you remember your first child? If you've had the privilege of having children? Do you remember how excited you were and how you valued that child because of his or her inherent worth? What a special moment that is when you're holding that newborn in your arms. In fact, if you were like our family, it didn't take long for everybody arguing over who's going to hold the baby first. And for how long? And yet, that small child had not done anything for you yet. He or she could not even say your name. He or she didn't even know you yet. But at that moment, that child was your pride and joy. Our granddaughter never did learn to say grandmother. So she called Daphne Gummy. That's how she got that name. That's what she could say, Gummy. And that name is held. And when her brother came, she said, her name is Gummy. When her cousin came, she said, her name is Gummy. And it has stuck. In the same way, God values us for our inherent worth. God loves us because we are created by Him in His image. He created us for fellowship with Him and to love Him. God sees mankind through the lens of their worth and their potential. And so, in the time that I have this morning, I want to share three truths with you. First, life has value because God made us with purpose. God put us together. Psalms 139:13 says, "For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb." And what is he saying here? He's saying that we are knitted together while living in our mother's womb. Before we were even born, God cared for us. He created our inward parts. God created and formed you and I. He made the inner you that no one else can see. You and I are special creations of the Lord. And every detail of your body was formed by Him. That baby that you held in your arms is a masterpiece which God had knit together. That child has great value to God and should have great value to us and to our society. Abortion is an affront to the very nature of God and His creative work. And we should do all that we can as God's children, as Christians, to speak against abortion. The second truth is life has value because God made us with promise. God put us together well, don't you think? And in Psalms 139:14, He says, "I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." Again, God did not just put us together. He put us together well. We are the work of His creation, and His works are wonderful. This is God's promise that our lives are not accidents or mistakes. God made us, and He did so in a way that allows our lives to impact the world and eternity. No wonder the psalmist says, "I will praise you." Our very lives are an opportunity to praise the Creator. And then the last truth is this: life has value Because God made us with plans. He made us for a purpose. God put us together well to fulfill the plan He has for us. Psalms 139, verses 15 and 16 says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was no one of them." Otherwise, what he was saying here is he planned before a single one of us began. Before you were born, God planned for your life. He knew everything you could be and all you would be. He knew the length of your days and the strength of those days. Your life is not an accident, as I've said already before, but is a part of God's plan for this world. Your life has been given to you as a great opportunity, and you can be a part of the plans God has to impact the world and to impact eternity. And all of you in this room should already know that He has been working His plans through you, and that you have already been fulfilling His purposes as you serve Him. There's a story of a little boy that didn't seem to matter much to anybody in his community. He was born a slave. He was soon orphaned as well. And then he was traded for an animal, a child for a horse. Growing up, he moved from one foster family to another. And as he moved from one place to place, he often witnessed horrible things. For example, people like him being beaten to death. As a youth, people would have considered him of little worth and no special value. But to God, he did matter. And the boy that I described was George Washington Carver, famous inventor and scientist. We are still reaping the benefits of his work today. If you are in agriculture or have had anything to do with farming, then you know what he has meant to that area of our lives. He has done a lot to improve agriculture. He found 300 uses for peanuts and hundreds more for soybeans and pecans and sweet potatoes. He promoted alternate crops to cotton. Have any of you ever picked cotton? All right. Is it easy? No. My wife has. When we were down in her home in North Carolina not long ago, as we were leaving to come home and we were on a back road, we saw the remnants of a cotton field. And she remarked how she used to hate to pick cotton and what it did to her hands and fingers. Well, George Washington Carver found an alternative for cotton. And he also found methods to prevent soil depletion. And yet, people thought he would amount to nothing, that his life was worthless. Unfortunately, many in our present culture today have lost touch with the value of life. The lives of others have become insignificant in the eyes of much of our world. But we must remember that God sees life differently. God sees our inherent value in our eternal potential. Let me just close by sharing my heart, because I am grieved. I become grieved. I'm grieved now when I think of all the scientists and doctors, pastors maybe, nurses, teachers, carpenters, farmers who have been aborted, never had the chance to meet their potential or to impact our world or eternity. I read the other day that 10% of deaths in Canada are by assisted suicide. Violence, the lack of respect for life, are killing millions of people around the world. Not wanting a child when they find out as parents that they will have to take care of a special needs child. I don't know how many of you have been around special needs children. They are special, but not because of their needs or just because of their needs. They're special because of what they add to life. I have friends who have special needs, and they are a joy to be around. And it grieves me that some women will choose abortion because they don't want to have to take care of a special needs child and all that involves. I know, Sharon, that most of our people didn't have a chance to meet your daughter. But back in the back of the room sits Brenda and Ed. Many of you have met Arlissa. And even though her health is deteriorating, I've had the privilege of knowing her when her health wasn't where it is now. And when she was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago, Daphne and I went in, and her face lit up because she knew us. And, you know, this fist bump, well, our hands were wrapped, and so you couldn't even see them. But she reached over and gave me a fist bump. And we've gone to watch her play Special Olympics, and we've gone to get ice cream together. And don't tell me she isn't special and she isn't worth saving. And it grieves me when parents decide, well, we don't want that kind of child. And so they abort them. Youth and young adults get pregnant because they want intimacy outside of marriage, and often without protection. And so rather than bother with that child, they abort them. Medical advances during pregnancies have given women an opportunity to bear children even if they have medical issues. It just grieves me that baby, children, and many human lives are treated as trash. I hope it grieves you too. And I hope that you will take seriously how to pray for life as sent to you on the internet, or you can pick up the same information on the back table. We need to celebrate life. We need to pray for those organizations who work hard to tell the truth about abortion, to tell the truth about assisted suicide, to tell the truth about special needs children, to tell the truth that God loves life. He loves you, and He loves that child being carried in a womb. And I'm looking forward to when Weeder brings Faith Judy to our church. And I know you're going to be excited, and you're going to look at that little baby and know that God loves Faith, and you love her too, because she's part of God's creation. So please, please, please pray. Get involved in an organization here in the Dover area that you know fights for life. And when we have the opportunity to give to the pregnancy center here in Dover, let's give generously to help them to tell the truth. And let mothers who are contemplating abortion know that there's help for them, that they don't have to give up that child, and that you're a part of that by giving generously to a pregnancy crisis center. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for life. And Lord, we must fight the good fight to be able to save as many babies from abortion as possible. We must fight the good fight, Lord, to let people know who are critically ill, living with pain, that assisted suicide is not the answer, that they can have hope in Jesus. He will bear their health issues with them. And Lord, to tell them that because of Christ's death on the cross and our willingness to put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we have hope that when we leave this earth, we will enter the glories of heaven. And Lord, that we will do all that we can to live out a Christ-like life, to let people know that we can have peace in our country, in our neighborhoods, where we work, where we live. But we have to live out that peace in our lives as we interact with people. It's so hard, Lord, not to hate our enemies, not to hate those who criticize us, to make fun of us, or want to destroy us. But as Christians, the Bible says we're to love our enemies. And in a sense, people who don't tell the truth, who lie about life, about the fact that abortion is health care, the fact that we can ease your pain by putting a needle in your body with something that will kill you and take you out of that misery. That, Lord, there's a better way than to kill people in violence. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for life itself. And I pray this in your name. Amen.